Okay, tonight we're going to try something a little bit different. If you haven't already figured it out, I'm not a Bible scholar, so I may not be what you're used to. I'm a small businessman, but I love studying the Word, and I've enjoyed this quarter being up here and sharing some of these ideas with you. Tonight we're going to do something a little bit different, though. I came across a book that is basically a success-oriented book, kind of almost like a Zig Ziglar thing. Power of positive thinking, if you want to call it that. Successful living. But it's called Wisdom and Wealth, Seven Ancient Secrets of King Solomon. This writer named Dan Jacobs thought that he held the keys to success through the words of Solomon. And I believe he had something there. I believe Solomon was so wise, God gave him the wisdom. I think there's a lot of things that we can learn from it. Plus, aside from all that, it's recommended by Zig Ziglar and also Coach Lou Holtz. So that ought to mean something. I don't know, but we're going to find out. But what this is basically just proverbs, okay? Proverbs that deal with how to be successful. Successful in business, that wouldn't hurt us to be good managers of our money and our assets and our blessings. Successful in our relationships, how we deal with other people, in our marriage, in business, in friendship, members of the church, just getting along with people, how to treat people. Solomon, with all of his wealth, all of his wisdom, all of his wives, all of his money, still had a strong, strong feeling for treating people right and making sure that his people were treated well and with respect. And he stresses a lot of that. It's all through his writings. Now, some of his writings are poetic in nature. They actually kind of fit together. Some of them are written like stories. He's very good at writing. And sometimes when I look at his proverbs, it's almost like he had a shotgun and just kind of shot all of his thoughts out at one time. As he lived his life, as he ruled his kingdom, he'd write things down. And he had the wisdom of God, so obviously what he wrote down made good sense and was put there for a reason. And it's lasted some 3,000 years. So we're going to use this book tonight and Don Jacobs' ideas of what were his favorite proverbs to help make us better, more successful, and hopefully even better Christians. So I'm going to be reading through here. What I'm going to do first is I'm going to start reading the scripture out of the NIV. And then I'm going to give you a more modern take on what I think that proverb says in modern terms. And in between these proverbs, I want you all, if you have anything to say, to speak up. I'd love to hear what you say, what you have to say, and get your take on it. And hopefully at the end of this thing, you'll think it was time well spent. I hope so. Anyway, the book is called Wisdom and Wealth. And we've talked a good bit this quarter about Solomon's rise to power, the enormous wealth he amassed during his reign, and about his accomplishments. We've talked about the great wisdom given him by God and how he shared it with us, how God chose to preserve much of it in his word. It stayed in there all these years, so God wanted it there. And to help guide mankind every day of his life to the end of time. Solomon, though, while being the wisest of the wise, the richest of the rich, however, eventually fell prey to the temptations of the world. That's something that can befall any of us. A fate that would be hard to avoid even for the best of men today, given all of the things that God placed within his hands. A lot of pressure on him. A lot of things that would go to any man's head, I'm sure. Just all of the wealth and decadence and all the things that he had. Palaces and everything else. But after a few decades, Israel's prosperity began to dwindle. His unlimited power and his political strength led to pride and self-indulgence. His lavish spending on royal construction projects led to a revolt against high taxes. That's nothing new, is it? And the system of forced labor required to build his palaces and his royal residences. But even given all of his wisdom and wealth, he did eventually fail to listen to his own philosophy of wisdom, kindness, and good judgment. He just sort of fell prey to the evils of pride and extravagance. He completely failed also to consider his own people, God's people. But there's so much, though, that we can learn from the wisdom and the principles that he laid down for us in Proverbs. There's also much we can learn from his decline. His wisdom was timeless. There was no expiration date, like we've said before, to it. It's still powerful even to this day. We can, though, however, take the best of his story, listen to it, and live by the code that Solomon lived by much of his life, and then choose not to fall into the traps that wealth and power can set for us. The complexities of our lives today make many of us long for a simple set of rules which allow us to become happy and successful. Success, though, is really kind of a subjective term. It's different things, means different things to different people. But we all want to enjoy our lives while we're here. And we have the material possessions. We want to have the things that we need to give ourselves and our families comfort. And while there have been literally thousands of self-help books written over the years to give people guidance that they're looking for all to have success in today's world, those answers are really already contained in the ancient book of Proverbs. Tonight we're going to look at several key principles in Proverbs that will help a person to succeed, achieve success and succeed in any century, even this new millennium that we live in. Tonight we're going to look at several Proverbs that hopefully will help us to achieve some success during our time here on earth. In business, all types of relationships, but especially people that we interact with. And we want to be successful in our Christian lives also. So, don't try to follow me in this because it jumps all over the place, okay? I'll read it. You can if you want to. I'm going to tell you where it is, and this is going to be from the NIV. First, Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. In other words, be careful how you think, because your life is shaped by your thoughts. We never stop thinking. Even when we're asleep, we don't stop. Thoughts race through our brain faster than the speed of light. But we can control those thoughts to some degree. We can think about good, positive things, even when there's so much negativity out there in our world today. And we can tune much of it out. Solomon said that we shape our lives by the thoughts we think. Just try to remember Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think ye on these things. If we can just look back over our lives at all the good things that have happened to us and all the good people that God's put in our way, in our path, it'll help us have a more positive outlook towards the future. Because if he did it then, he can do it for us going forward. In our conversations with others, try to focus on the positive aspects of the discussion to keep the conversation on the right track. Next, Proverbs 17:20. One whose heart is corrupt does not prosper. One whose tongue is perverse falls into trouble. Another version of that would read, anyone who thinks and speaks evil can expect to find nothing good, only disaster. You pour dirty water into a clean glass, you're still drinking dirty water. Your mind is like that clear glass. You fill it with good thoughts and good words, and you'll have them to draw from all the time. Think happy thoughts. Or try to. But we live in a time where, there's a lot of bad things. If you're looking for bad things, you're going to find plenty of them. They're out there now, and there's plenty of them out there. They're not hard to find, as we all know. And we all know those who are really good about turning a conversation into just about anything bad. and can pretty much give us a forecast for doom at the drop of a hat. That type of person will most likely never achieve success in his life. Disaster seems to just fill their mind, and that's all they can think about, never realizing that it's what's probably standing in the way of them actually becoming a success. A person who thinks they have the worst job in the world will eventually have the worst job. Self-fulfilling, what do you call it? Ed Redmond called it a self-licking ice cream cone, I think. A dead-end position with no advancement, no reward, and no future. A spouse who feels trapped in a bad marriage will often poison that relationship and make that vision a reality. And an individual who constantly doubts his own abilities will probably never achieve what he's capable of because he becomes sunk in a well of despair. Anybody have any thoughts about that? Comments? Okay. If you do, just speak up. Proverbs 23:19. Listen, my son, and be wise, and set your heart on the right path. In other words, give serious thought to the way you live. Try to plan your life to get what you want to achieve from it. Think of those things like bad habits or friendships that you might have that might be keeping you from getting where you want to be in life. But especially try to address those things or those friendships that may be keeping you from being the Christian that you want to be and you know you should be. We all have choices to make in our lives, or roadmaps that can lead us to places we want to get in life, and others, though, that can lead us off course. God's word should be used as our compass to help guide us there and an anchor to keep us from drifting away. Remember that very few people are completely satisfied with where they are at every stage of their life. Solomon tells us to be wise and to take seriously how we live our lives. And we do that, first of all, by listening. I'm not very good at listening. My wife will tell you that. I need to be better at that. By tuning into all the wisdom around us. Many of us had wise Christian parents and grandparents that came before us. Remember their wisdom that they had, that they passed down to us. And even their mistakes, in some cases, that they learned from. We can learn from successful people in our church family also. I'm sure if you ask them, they could give you many insights into their keys to success, especially the ones that begin the conversation with "put God first." If they say that, they're probably on the right track. Then Proverbs 19:8, the one who gets wisdom loves life. The one who cherishes understanding will prosper. We go to school, we listen to stories from our parents and our grandparents, we exchange ideas with our friends. It's all learning and gaining wisdom. Solomon points out that we should continue to learn all through our lives. In addition, we have to remember what we learn. That's getting harder and harder for me to do. The lessons of life, just like lessons of education, stick with us best when we use them daily in our daily activities. When we don't learn our lessons, we can get caught up in an endless cycle of repeating our same mistakes. We grow and we prosper by learning and by remembering what we learned. And unfortunately, many people today think that school gives us the education that's most important for being successful. And school is important. We all would agree on that. But there are far greater lessons to be learned from people who have learned through living, through fortune, through bankruptcy, through happiness and through depression. These lessons of wisdom are usually free and can save you time and money and unhappiness if you just listen. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. So truth, wisdom, learning, and good sense. These are all worth paying for, but they're too valuable for you to sell. In other words, when you have them, don't get rid of them. We live in a world that specializes in buying and selling. And sometimes it just seems like there's nothing that isn't for sale today, somewhere at some price. We're bombarded day and night by people telling us to buy, buy, buy. Think of the pillow commercial. They kind of run that one in the ground. And often things that they're asking us to buy promises nothing but just a monetary thrill or passing little bit of entertainment. Some of these things we can buy give us more tangible rewards, though, like books, music, works of art. They can transform the way we look at the world. Some of them become our most precious possessions. We buy them, but we won't sell them. But some wisdom and some learning comes to us the hard way, through suffering, through joy, through life. And this is the best and most lasting way to pay for the truth. And when we buy wisdom, learning, and good common sense through living our lives, that truth becomes part of us, not to be given up at any price. Then Proverbs 3, 13 through 14. Blessed are those who find wisdom, who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. Wisdom allows you to make better decisions in every aspect of your life, without worry, without hesitation, without regrets. We don't have to worry or have the fear that often comes with the decisions we make in our business or personal lives. We're usually happier. We have a better outlook on life and other people. This is what makes wisdom so valuable, because gold won't buy worry-free happiness. Understanding the knowledge of people and circumstances that sets us apart. Wisdom is a precious commodity and the foundation of success. Okay, raising our kids. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We've heard this all of our lives. But there's a lot of truth in that. We start at the very beginning with the right things to put in their heads, and they'll remember them, and they'll come back to them when they're old. And a question that so many people today ask is, how do I teach my child how he should live? And of course, there's no easy answer. You can start with the Word of God. You can end with the Word of God. But there's no denying the wisdom and the truth of this same proverb. It's timeless. Children who are instructed correctly when they're little will know right from wrong. And when they're older, they'll be happier adults because of the scriptures they were grounded in at an early age. Being able to determine right from wrong will help them to be more successful in marriage, in business, and in life in general. Can also just make life easier for them to live. People forgotten that today, hadn't they? That's one aspect of common sense that I don't see as much of around anymore. It just seems like people are losing their perspective somewhat. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. Another version I read said, keep company with the wise and you will become wise. You make friends with stupid people and you will be ruined. A lot of sense there. You just can't soar with the eagles when you run with the turkeys, as the old saying goes. And Solomon understood that not only do we often define ourselves by our companions, but we establish goals for ourselves according to the company we keep. If we associate with people who want to keep learning and growing as people, it can help us add to our own wisdom. Be careful who you associate with. Try to associate with those who act wise. Also try to associate with other Christians who have the same spiritual values that you have, and you may find yourself growing in your wisdom and your faith also. Having good, faithful friendships, companions, can make all the difference in your life. You'll be surprised at how much wisdom can be found in others who may even be smarter than you are in ways you never thought possible. Proverbs 4:25. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Another version says, look straight ahead with honest confidence. Don't hang your head in shame. What is confidence? It's the assurance of your ability. Your confidence can color every aspect of your life, from business to personal relationships. But unfortunately, confidence is often a delicate balance between assurance, being overassured, and the awareness of your own limitations. You may not be quite as smart as you think you are. Solomon's words here given to us to have the balance that we need in our lives. Look straight ahead, face life with a confident posture, and a faith in God. Don't hang your head. If you get criticism, then try to figure out if maybe it's hidden wisdom that just might make you a better person. If so, then take it to heart. But if not, just ignore it. Just keep looking straight ahead with confidence and above all, with prayer. Then Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. In other words, being cheerful keeps you heavy, but it's a slow death to be gloomy all the time. Cheerfulness and confidence just kind of go hand in hand. If you're confident, you naturally feel better. You're more cheerful. People that lack self-confidence have a negative outlook and just can't seem to make the connection between their negative outlook and the gloom surrounding them. They may be the cause of their own problems. But if you can't be confident, then start by trying to be cheerful. This can bring out the best in people around you and help you feel more cheerful. If you don't think so, the next time you see a baby or a young child, smile at them and watch their reaction. Or even adults, when you smile at people, it's hard for them to give you a gruff look back. A lot of times it'll help make your day. A smile definitely turneth away wrath. Proverbs 18:14. The human spirit can endure in sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? Your will to live can sustain you when you're sick, but if you lose it, your last hope is gone. But just what is your will to live if not confidence in yourself and your future? People who lose their will to live but don't actually die often live their whole lives as if they're disappointed that they didn't die. If you lose your confidence in yourself and those around you, you lose hope. And hope is our lifeline to happiness. We'll stop again. Anybody have anything they want to add, say? Proverbs 19:2. Desire without knowledge is not good. How much more will hasty feet miss the way? In other words, enthusiasm without knowledge isn't always good. Impatience can get you into trouble. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Enthusiasm can be a powerful force for good and closely tied to having a strong self-confidence. But Solomon teaches us here that we can easily get in over our heads if we don't temper our enthusiasm with a little bit of knowledge to go with it. Let's imagine you've always wanted to start a restaurant because you just love to cook. Your self-confidence and your enthusiasm for the project may be just enough to carry you through to that goal, but they might not. However, your chances of success are much greater if you add in with it some business and management schooling into the mix. A lack of knowledge can lead to situations that could be destructive to your self-confidence and your enthusiasm. Proverbs 13:4. Solomon likes using that word sluggard. A sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. No matter how much a lazy person may want something, he'll probably never get it. A hard worker, though, will get anything he wants. That's what Solomon's saying. Talk to people that you think are successful. The vast majority of them are going to tell you that they built their success on hard work. The ones that I've known in my life that were successful were some of the hardest people, had the strongest work ethic of anybody I've ever known. And they succeeded. They were smart. They were frugal. They started with nothing and worked their way up. But they kept at it, and they worked hard, and they didn't know when the knockoff bell sounded. They never quit. Henry Ford said, "The harder I work, the luckier I get." Thomas Edison is credited with saying, "Genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration." Luck doesn't follow hardworking people. Success does. Others seek out hardworking people when problems need solutions, and that's where the opportunities lie. Proverbs 22:29. "Do you see somebody skilled in their work? They will serve before kings. They will not serve before officials of low rank." Solomon had some pretty good opinions, I guess. We've gotten to the point that we sometimes underappreciate doing a good job. Sometimes we settle for doing good enough instead of doing a good job. The person who works to do his best at his job is becoming rare, and he'll be singled out from the others when it comes time for advancement. Too few people anymore see the long-term benefit of doing your job better than is expected of you. And once you've raised your standard of performance, you'll notice both your reputation and your income growing. Again, just like the rest of Solomon's words, just good common sense. Most of this you people know already. Most of us do, especially those that, you know, that have been taught this our whole life. But people are forgetting these basic principles of life. A little reminder, I don't think, hurts once in a while. Proverbs 13:11. "Dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow." Good advice. "The more easily you get your wealth, the sooner you'll lose it. Easy come, easy go. The harder it is to earn, the more you'll have." Do you ever dream of winning the lottery or inheriting millions? Most, if not all of us, have. But many people, with the ones that have become wealthy quickly, haven't only lost it all, but really didn't even find happiness in having it. The unique problems that come with getting rich so quickly can even be worse than the ones you faced before you got that wealth. But on the other hand, when you've had to earn your money and you learn the value of every dollar you earned, you tend to become more wise in handling it. The false sense of power and security that comes with sudden wealth just can't compare with the patient gains of earning it and investing it wisely. I wish I'd have heard this when I was about 16. Would have helped me. Proverbs 4:24. "Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Never say anything that isn't true. Have nothing to do with lies and misleading words." It's easy to stretch the truth. It's also very popular now. Sometimes we can't even justify in our minds. We can't even justify in our minds a little white lie to keep from hurting somebody. The problem with any lie, though, is that someone usually discovers the truth, and then we have to tell another lie just to cover it up, or we have to go ahead and tell the truth in the end, eventually anyway. It's just better to tell the truth up front. You can avoid the confusion and embarrassment of being caught in a lie. And the simple truth is that people just like to do business with people they trust. It's good policy. Friendship is based on honesty and trust. I know it sounds simple, but people today just don't seem to place the same emphasis on being truthful as they should. Let your image be that of an honest person who can always be trusted with people. People will respect you for it. And again, just some more common sense for success. Proverbs 21:21. "Whoever pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. Be kind and honest, and you'll live a good life where others will respect you and treat you fairly." Since so many of us are influenced by how others treat us, it should be fairly simple to follow this wise advice. When you're kind and honest, others will respond to you in the same way. If you're dishonest, though, others are going to hear about it, and it's going to hurt your reputation. It'll be diminished by it, and it's a hard thing to live down. Dishonesty just doesn't remain a secret for very long. So how does honesty help our life expectancy? How does it help us to live longer? Well, the answer is stress. It's a great, great source of illness and despair. We have a lot of it in our lives today. Kindness and honesty are just simple ways to help have a daily lack of stress. If you didn't have anger and anxiety in your life from the deception, don't you think that it might make you healthier and more productive? Being treated fairly and respected by others is just a good way to live. Good common sense stuff. Anybody have any thoughts? Proverbs 28:6. Better the poor whose walk is blameless than the rich whose ways are perverse. Or better to be poor and honest than rich and dishonest. Getting ahead through dishonesty is just not a recipe for long-term success. Making a quick score at someone else's expense just isn't going to earn you friends or business associates who are going to put their trust in you. How much is your good name worth in the long run anyway? Proverbs 25:14. Like clouds and wind without rain is one who boasts of gifts never given. People who promise things that they never give are like clouds and winds that don't bring any rain. Broken promises will force people to label you as independent and dishonest, which will undermine your friendships and your business. And once you've been dishonest, you make yourself a target for people to destroy your reputation. And a reputation as an honest, dependable person is one of the hardest things in the world to regain once you've lost it. Just be fair in all your dealings with people. Proverbs 29:23. Pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honor. In other words, arrogance will bring your downfall, but if you're humble, you'll be respected. Always try to be humble, no matter how great you think you are. Modesty just isn't as easy when everything in your life is going well and it just seems like you're unbeatable. But that's just the time when you need to be on your guard to do a modesty checkup on yourself. It's just human nature to want to boast a little bit when you've had some success. Just let others know how well you're doing. But if we can just restrain that urge a little, even when there seems to be reason for humility, we'll be showing the strength of character that many people today just don't have. We'll earn the respect of others and build closer friendships and build better business relationships. Arrogance will just drive people away and reveal immaturity and a lack of character. Now, you got to remember, this is coming from a secular and a biblical standpoint. So you're getting both sides of it. But they both work hand in hand. They're using scripture to become successful in life, which I think is something good for all of us to learn. And I think many of us already know most of this stuff, but it's a really good review. Proverbs 15:12. Mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. Or conceited people don't like to be corrected. They never ask for advice from those who are wiser. And it's strange that so often people who need the advice the most are the ones who listen the least. Conceited people just don't welcome the help of others who just might be able to point out their weaknesses and make them better people. It's a good idea to ask others for their opinion first rather than just assuming that you're always right. That kind of conceit makes it tough when the time comes when you really need advice and the people who can help you by giving it to you can only remember your former arrogance. Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. And just when we think we're in control and nothing can stop us, something just all of a sudden goes wrong. And things you just don't have planned just don't turn out the way that you planned them. And it's just not right to brag about what might come your way, because after all is said and done, we're really not as much in control of it as we think we are. People who like to brag about things they've accomplished or the killing they just made in the stock market or some big business deal that went their way, these are people that usually have a cheering section when people find out about their downfall. They cheer their downfall. Proverbs 27:2. Let someone else praise you, not your own mouth, an outsider, and not on your own lips. So let other people praise you, even strangers. Never praise yourself. The praise of others is the biggest confidence builder of all anyway. The praising of yourself just doesn't have the same effect. Don't brag. When others praise you, you feel great about life and about other people. You even feel like giving some praise back to them when it's due. When you praise others, you make their day, and you start a chain reaction of positive energy that will eventually come back to you. And you don't have to be close friends with or be related to somebody to give them praise. When you observe something being well done or done right, just praise that person for his effort. Even if he or she's a stranger, you'll be surprised at just how quickly that positive feeling comes back to you and makes you feel good. Well, we had some comments last week. I must not have thrown enough controversial stuff out there tonight, but that's okay. Go ahead, Ree. Can somebody relay that to me up here? I can't hardly hear you. Proverbs 20 what? Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. Yep. It's true. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. That's true. That is true. That's true. Yeah. That's why I said success is subjective. I mean, it's everybody's idea of success is something different. I mean, to me, what would be successful to me wouldn't be the drop in a bucket to, you know, a billionaire. But in the final analysis, and that's another lesson we're going to get from Solomon in Ecclesiastes, is how much all that we do here on earth matters in the long term, because he comes to a very abrupt reality in his life. And he learns that it's all for nothing, really. And what counts is what we lay by in store and the good things that we do in heaven. But while we're here on earth, we can do a lot of good things if we succeed with what we have. So, and you have certain people that are happy with nothing. And that's great. I mean, that's wonderful. And you have other people that want to be successful, and they're out there and they're striving to try to work, to make other people have jobs, to use their money for good. And yes, sometimes people that are bad do succeed, but it's usually a short-lived success. Does that make sense? I agree.
Certainly, business pursuits
have their place, but I just thought it was kind of unique to have somebody secular take the word of God and be able to turn it into some way to make success, financial success, here on earth. But in the final analysis, we're not going to take it with us. Solomon's going to tell us that later on. We're going to get to that. So thank you for those comments.